Right now, I am so pleased to be hooked up with Michael Svendrovsky, who is the chair of the ALA Subcommittee on Bookmobiles, the American Library Association, and the president of Specialty Vehicle Services. And Michael, thank you for spending some of your Sunday morning still, I guess, there in Milwaukee with us here on the radio in San Francisco.
My pleasure, Peter.
And we're talking bookmobiles, if you're just joining us now, as I mentioned, because I was looking at a bookmobile as a possible adjunct to my modest house because I'm overflowing with books. And that's how I got hooked up with Michael and realized that I had a chance to learn about bookmobile lore. And in fact, if you've got some bookmobile stories, and we'll get to your phone calls here in just a second, Michael and I will, 866-960-5753. If bookmobiles have meant something to your life, to your history, it'd be fun to talk with you this morning. And as I poked around, Michael, I saw that bookmobiles predate vehicles, that there were bookmobiles that were book-strapped to donkeys and camels wandering out in the outback.
Absolutely, and that truly still continues today in other countries such as Peru and in Africa. However it is that it gets done, be it internal combustion engine or via horseback, the importance is the same no matter where you go. Get those valuable books and media and information in the hands of those who need them.
And the first one you've identified to us, that's Tom Corwin and myself, because we're engaged in now this bigger project that I'll talk about with you before the hour's over. But the first bookmobile in existence, as well as you can document it in this country, still operates? Tell us about Pegasus.
Pegasus began life as a bookmobile in 1924, and she had a long and notorious history. She was taken out of service, I believe, in the 40s, and then kind of brought back out of the barn and restored, and is now, it doesn't do true bookmobile service anymore in Everett, Washington, but it still is brought out annually for parades and public events.
So up in Everett, Washington, it's a bit of a device to draw attention to the library and just to remind folks of what it used to be?
It's an operating piece of history, and it's a big part of who they are.
Now, are bookmobiles, is there a curve that suggests there was a time when they peaked in terms of numbers and service that they provided, and that's lessened now, or are they still an important, growing, viable aspect of library systems around the country?
As with any other service, there's cycles involved, and I think they probably hit their peak in the 50s. They dropped down just a little bit, but they're enjoying a resurgence today. Due in part to our economy.
Due in part to the economy? In what way? Why would the economy be providing a resurgence?
Well, the economy forces people to look at how they do things, and public libraries in general have seen up to a 10% increase in the amount of new library card issues, number of in-person visits, and that flows right throughout to the bookmobiles.
I see. So rather than going to the bookstore and buying the book, then people really are making a decision to go to the library, still get access to the materials and not have to spend the money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just a piece of trivia here, online visits especially are up over 85% in the last year.
Online visits to libraries.
To libraries, correct.
And that will obviously be something we'll talk about when we deal with your project, the Digital Bookmobile, before the hour is over. Michael, let's take a call from a listener, David in San Francisco. Good morning. Welcome to Green 960. I'm Peter Lawfer. You're on the air here. We're talking bookmobiles with Michael Svendrovsky.
Yeah. Hey, morning, Peter and Michael. You know, I told the screener, Parnassus on Wheels. Does that ring a bell?
I have not heard of that one. I apologize.
Oh, are you kidding? It's actually a famous book about the Depression, and it's about a guy who, I don't remember if he was a professor, but he lost his job and he was living on the road, and so he converted his vehicle into a bookmobile, and drove around the country, essentially whether he went 40 feet a day or whether he went 5 miles. He essentially made his livelihood by traveling around the country buying and trading in books.
Yeah, he was buying and trading, not acting as a library. I in part of the research I've started to do for this project, David, I found that book. It's from much earlier. It's a 1917 book by Christopher Morley.
That's right. Yeah, Morley. Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to remember his name. Well, you know, the reason I brought that up, you know, I don't know if you've seen with the subprime scandal, there are now these massive homeless encampments. And, you know, obviously many of the homeless are very skilled people who have lost their jobs. So I saw this all during the 80s where people would convert cars or school buses or any number of different vehicles into their living quarters. And they would find different ways of buying and selling, trading, you know, creating their own exchange rate for different items. And as a matter of fact, I think if you go into the history of Hitler killing not just the Jews, but he was killing gypsies, and gypsies were people who traveled around in just the same way, and carrying knowledge, which is essentially what you're talking about, is something that the kings and monarchs and dictators and all sorts of things have always hated. So the idea of bookmobiles were almost a giving honesty to an ancient trade that was outlawed. And so, you know, just the revolutionary aspect of having knowledge and traveling around the country and spreading it. But one thing before I go, are you involved at all in the manufacture of them, or do you have knowledge of organizations or companies that manufacture?
Yeah, I can speak for Michael there. He knows more than anybody probably in this country about the manufacture and distribution of bookmobiles. So if you have a question for him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what I'm looking at, there's a massive hazardous waste spill that's happened in eastern Tennessee, and it's going to affect about 1,000 miles of what's called the Tennessee River, the lower Ohio, and then the lower Mississippi. And so it's going to be really necessary to be traveling along that riverway in order to educate people on what has happened, how soon it'll get there, doing blood tests, all sorts of different things. And, you know, obviously, the governor of the state of Tennessee has not declared it a disaster, and this thing is so massive that it's going to affect this much damage. I'm just looking at low-cost ways of getting something done that the government is not paying for. So do you have, for example, a website with a good list of either used or existing new manufacturer of bookmobiles or actually with the blood screening, so they might have to be hygienic sorts of you know, like bloodmobiles as opposed to bookmobiles.
Let me stop you there, David, and I'm sure we'll get an answer. Thank
you
for the call. And Michael, how does that work to get that kind of information if somebody's interested in a specialty vehicle? Obviously, you have a website for your company.
Right, but within that website, we also have put together a very comprehensive directory of all those manufacturers nationwide and, for that matter, worldwide. I invite you to visit www.vehiclesuccess.com.
Vehiclesuccess.com. Vehiclesuccess.com. So just about anything that somebody could conjure in terms of providing a mobile service is probably been built or is being built somewhere by somebody and offered for sale, I would think.
Absolutely. There's hundreds of companies worldwide that specialize in converting vehicles to special use, just as you were speaking about.
Okay, terrific. It's 9:30 in the morning here on Green 960. I'm Peter Laufer. We are talking bookmobiles, and on the line from outside of Milwaukee is Michael Svendrovsky. He is the president of Specialty Vehicle Services and the chair of the American Library Association Subcommittee on Bookmobiles. We're going to hear about his digital bookmobile. We're going to learn about Bookmobile Day. And you'll hear about the project that I'm now working on with Tom Corwin, Behind the Wheel of a Bookmobile, that Michael has graciously got himself involved with, too, that will be launching soon. And we'd like to hear from you if you have some bookmobile memories or questions or thoughts, if bookmobiles have played a role in your life. As I said earlier, I have such fond memories as a kid of wandering around in the bookmobile and walking home with a stack of books, that blue and white Art Deco-looking rounded machine that was such an extension of the library for me. Green 960 Weekend Live and Local on Green 960. I'm Peter Laufer. You can always reach me via email at Peter Laufer, L-A-U-F-E-R, Peter Laufer at peterlaufer.com. Good morning to you. It's a beautiful day.